Welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 397. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from a mild autumnal Gutterman cave here in Louisville, Kentucky. And it is a Monday show. This is going to be a listener interaction episode, but we have a couple of co-captains. And let's go ahead and get out those guys first before we jump into the meat of this program. And so with talking about the meat of this program, I'll go to Los Angeles, California, La La Land, the City of Angels, the meat of Negative Positives, Mr. Andre Dominguez.
Howdy, howdy.
And out in Georgia, Mr. Mike Kukovica, the drunk dark room. How you doing tonight, Kooks?
Feeling pretty good. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Oh, you notice I didn't even call you captain, but I just said co-captains this
time. That's right. You know? What's the matter with me? I missed that. Well, right over my head.
I sort of feel like, you know, I mean, I sort of feel like that co-captain's chair has your scent on it now, you know? So I feel like...
it's got the indentation of your butt.
Your non-colonoscopy butt. Yeah, your non-colonoscopy butt imprint is there. So... All right. Well, I guess first thing we want to do is kind of catch up with everybody, see what we've been up to. So we'll start as usual with Mr. Andre Dominguez. Andre, what do you got going on, brother?
Oh boy. Well, most recently, and he'll expand on it a little bit in his little section. But Mr. Kukovica was out here in California for a short period of time. So after some kind of humming and hawing about what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go, some calls to the LA Leica store to ask if the new M6 was there yet, which the answer to that was no. We decided to hit up Route 66 again. And unfortunately, I only got that's right. I didn't sleep at all, because by the time I got back from a little evening soiree at my boss's house on Friday night, it was about 3:15 in the morning, and Kooks was set to pick me up at my place at 6:30. So you could pretty much guarantee that between every stop, regardless of kind of the quality of the conversation, which was overall high, you know, as usual, there was lots of inadvertent sleeping as I was chauffeured around the desert by Mr. Kukovica.
So Andre fell asleep on you, Kooks. Like, that's weird, because he's not one to normally fall asleep on people, you know?
Really. First time.
That's amazing. And I kept trying to tell him to lean the chair back a little bit, because he had the bobblehead action going. You know what I mean?
Well, I was hoping that I knew that if I leaned the chair back, I was a goner.
Yeah, but you kind of were anyway, so it was like, don't fight it, man. It just looked painful, you know? I was kind of like looking over there, and I'm like, oh, man. But you can't reach the seat controls in that car, because it's like on the side by the door.
Right.
So I was like, well, I can't do anything. So
well, that would have freaked me out if I accidentally fall asleep, and then like I wake up and you're like reaching over me.
Stop the car and let me out. I'm out. I don't care if it's the middle of the desert. I'm out of here.
It looked a little odd to people going down the road next to you if you're reaching over.
Notice that the key part of that was that I didn't.
But you thought about it.
Oh, man.
No, but we had a really good time. There was a few places, you know, that have become, you know, habits for us to photograph there. We started off at breakfast at, is it Emma Jean's Diner?
Yep.
Did I have that right? And then we hit up that same house. I think actually, Kooks, you mentioned it recently on a recent episode of the house with the really kind of like caving in sloping roof. We stopped there again to take some pictures. But we also hit up a few, you know, new places to me. There's this abandoned water park that was really cool. Although, cool. You know, Mike, remember when I was out there in Louisville with you, that we had that you know, experience of seeing the kind of like the rough looking dudes outside of the cigar shop. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to go talk to them. It wasn't quite the same, but like not soon after we get to this abandoned water park thing out in the desert. And it's got like no trespassing signs everywhere. And we're like a little bit kind of like looking out to see if anybody's coming. By the time that we get kind of a decent ways into this abandoned water park, we just hear the sound of these like dune buggies. And this like small caravan of dune buggies, one of which has like a big don't tread on me flag, you know, rolls like in
50 feet in the air.
And we're kind of like, this is a little dicey.
It's starting to look a little bit like Mad Max, Road Warrior type action going on. Yeah.
Well, that particular one, the guys had like bandanas over their entire face. Like most of their face was covered, and that's the part that gave me the creeps at first. I was like, "Oh boy, that's."
Well, you know, it's dusty out there in the desert. We don't want to make any assumptions.
No, but you turn around and look at how far is the entrance away? How far is the car away?
No, but I told Kooks, I was like, you know, if they come up to us and like, what are you doing or anything like that? I was like, I'm pretty sure there are some guns in there. I can fit in.
Find some common ground.
I can speak the lingo.
Definitely.
But no, we ended up having a really good time. Around like sunset, there was again this other really interesting abandoned house that we ended up being there for, I mean, close to an hour, just roll after roll after roll of taking pictures of this house. I'm really excited to see, you know, the different perspectives that we get, both in terms of different aspect ratios that we were shooting based on the cameras. I did a couple like, you know, really up close macro stuff with the close up lenses and the Rolleiflex. Between the two of us, I'm sure that we covered every possible angle of that place.
I think you're right.
Well, very cool.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, pretty much just mourning the departure of my dear friend Kooks. You know, he's not going to be back here before the end of the year. So the next adventure that we go on is going to be in 2023. It's crazy to say.
Wow. Wow.
It is crazy.
Well, it is, coming up on the holiday season. So, you know, it's, as you get older, there's a sense of dread that comes with the holidays now. It's like some of the magic's kind of gone. Like, I can't even like play Santa Claus with my kids anymore. You know, it's like the magic's kind of gone a little bit. But hey, you know, we'll get through it. But
and it comes too fast, man. And this is, I know every old guy says it, but it's like, all right, time flies. I can't believe it's Christmas time already. What the heck, you know? But but there's some truth to it, you know.
Right.
It's like, ugh. Yeah, looking forward to the cooler weather, and it's like, wait a minute, staring Thanksgiving in the eye? Come on.
Kooks, what do you? I guess you got kind of a similar story. We know where you all went and shot, but what are you up to here lately?
Well, yeah.
What happened while I was asleep?
How many sleeping Andre pictures did you get?
Let's see. Man, you know
did
what?
Did you take any sleeping Andre pictures?
No, I didn't. How lame is that?
Man, I'm so disappointed in you.
You're right. I should have, because actually at certain points, yeah, I probably could have pulled over and gotten out of the car and got the camera out of the back, and it might not have moved. So I should have.
Hey, no, in my defense, I have a uncanny ability to wake up when we actually stop the car.
No, that's true. I'll give you credit for that, because every time I kind of thought. And the other thing that you can pull off, Andre, is talking while you're half asleep, like sort of carrying on a conversation where your head's kind of fallen a little bit. But I'm like, it's actually making sense what you're saying. So I'm like, okay.
And when I wake up, I pick up the conversation where I left off, which may have been like 20 minutes ago.
Well, the good part is I didn't carry on the conversation with myself for the 20 minutes. So we can pick up where we left off.
Yeah, folks, I can't, you know, in good conscience say that I'm a great co-pilot, especially if I've received very little sleep There's something about the like the gentle little rumble of driving that if I'm in the passenger, like it never happened. Like I've never fallen asleep at the wheel or anything while I've been driving. But man, you put me in the passenger seat and get me comfy. You know, those heated seats in the I don't know what were we driving, Mike?
It was a Macan.
A Macan.
Yeah.
Nice and toasty. Butt warmers.
Well, but dude, I mean, you had when you said you got home at 3:30 and I picked you up at 6:30. I mean, that's 3 hours from walking in to walking out. So, I mean, like, I think it'd be I was glad you actually came instead of, you know, begging off. And so, yeah, if you fell asleep when we were driving it.
Well, no, I'm glad I didn't like fall asleep and just not like hear my phone, because you'd be, you know, sitting parked in front of my apartment just being like, well, what do I do now? Do I hop the fence?
Yeah, that actually I didn't really think of that. What would it have done? But now it was good though, man. It was good. And you were awake when we got out of the car and we're shooting, so that's all that really mattered. So it was all good. But but yeah, from my side, I got home Saturday morning about 7 o'clock is when I got to my house and kind of crashed for a while. And then I started developing the film that I shot, and I developed a few roles. But I guess one of the other things about my week was I got a new lens for the Hasselblad.
Hasselblad.
I got the 50 millimeter. For it. And that using that was really cool because, I mean, usually with that camera, I set it on a tripod and I'm, you know, using like the 150 or the 250. So, you know, something that you need to compose carefully and focus carefully and take your time. And those two lenses are not really something that you would walk around with, even in sunny 16, right, where you could stop it down and have a high shutter speed to the point that it you weren't really worried about having it in focus or not. It still isn't something that you would want to do, you know. So putting the 50 on there, I mean, that fixed all of that, and just kind of focusing at anything of a medium distance, you didn't even really have to try hard. You know what I mean? Especially like shooting at F11 or something. It was all I'm trying to say was walking around and just looking in the viewfinder, holding the camera in my hand and not like having to like look through the little magnifier to make sure everything was focused. That was really enjoyable. Somewhere between, you know, like zone, like something like an XA where it's zone focus, and then from that spectrum to being like really anal and focusing on, you know what I mean, to the minute detail, it was kind of, and shooting thin, it was really cool. So I enjoyed that. And actually that inspired me to, I ordered a prism finder for that thing just today. So I figure with the 6.45 magazine with the 50 millimeter and with that prism finder, that's kind of like a walk around camera. In a way, for me,
yeah, because like 50 on a Hasselblad was like a 35 equivalent or something like that.
I think so. So 30, 35, somewhere in that range. Yeah,
it's a nice range. Yeah.
And it looks great. I mean, you can't really tell the difference between like the 80 and that if it's level. But you know, of course, the minute you tilt it up, everything gets all crazy. Lines start, you know, converging and stuff like that. But yeah, that was cool. So that was a good experience. I'm glad I got that lens. Although I was telling Andre that there's a little nick on the front element of it. And nick isn't even the right description. It's like, it looks like a piece of dust that doesn't come off. So it's either on the outside of the lens or it's a piece of dust on the inside. And I know that it doesn't matter. I know that it's not going to, but it's one of those things that you can let it grind you a little bit if you want to. But after shooting it with that day, I was like, nah, I'm fine. It's not a problem.
I'm sure you won't see it. Yeah. But so is that pretty much what you had, Mike?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Well, I guess I don't think I talked about this, at least what we did, I guess. But a couple weekends ago, we went and visited my son up in Ohio at his college and got up there Sunday afternoon, stayed all night Sunday night, and then hung with him on Monday as well, and then came home Monday evening. But Monday morning we got up, we went and did some thrift store shopping and hit a bunch of like Goodwills, a bunch of thrift stores around his area. And I thought, you know, it's a small town. I thought, you know, maybe there'll be some goodies here, man, you know. not a single. I only saw one camera, and it was like a Vivitar Pentax mount camera, and they wanted like $90 for it. It was just outrageous, right? But that was like literally went to probably 5 thrift stores, and that was the only camera we saw. Even when I go out of town, my thrift store luck is non-existent. Still no Stylus Epic, $5 Stylus Epic. Still haven't run into that deal yet. But anyway, I brought a couple cameras and I shot a little bit. We walked around the town. It's outside Granville, Ohio. It's where his college is based. It's a very small, kind of quaint little town. And took some shots and took some APS shots because, he is the hottest trend in film photography. He's taking over the world by storm. And plus, I was in a college town. I wanted to look hip with the kids. All the cool kids are shooting that stuff. There was one point we stopped at this pizza place and there was a window I wanted to take a picture of. It's kind of a real old building and it used to be like a car dealership or something. So we were getting ready to leave and they had all gotten back in the car and I wasn't in the car yet. I didn't hear this. My wife told me about it later because I was outside and I was shooting this window or whatever with the APS camera. And apparently my youngest son said, "What is Dad doing? Where's he at?" And then Grant, my oldest, was like, "Don't complain. He's shooting a photograph. You don't see this happen very often." So it is what it is. But I got a couple. Get a little bit of photography that I've done. The other thing is, I got some shout outs to get out here. Let's see here. There's a couple of YouTube channels I want to shout out. Obviously, I've shouted him out many times. Jamie Maldonado did some videos on Ektachrome. It's called Ektachrome, and ECN2 is Euphoria, where he takes some shots with Ektachrome in the ECN2 process, getting that sort of a Euphoria show look or whatever. And he used my music, and I definitely thank him for that. But it's also a great video you should check out. Also, another person in our community has recently started doing some YouTube, Mr. Jim Melcher. He's got a little YouTube channel going now. He's got a couple videos up. He's been using some of my music, but he did like two videos on how to use stainless steel reels or how to load them.
Oh, nice.
And I found them a good resource there because I have some stainless steel reels that a listener sent to me, and I've been so scared to use the damn things because I'm just I'm worried about the film sweats in the dark bag
Mike, you got a colonoscopy, man. This is gonna be cake. It's not a problem, man. You can handle that.
That's a very good point. And he also did a video about the Minolta Maxim 5, an issue with the battery doors breaking on them, and how to a little work around if you happen to break your Minolta Maxim 5 battery door. So check out Jim Melcher on YouTube. His YouTube channel is just Jim Melcher, and he's got a couple of good useful resources up on his YouTube channel now. So let's see what else. Theo Panagopoulos from the Photo Thinking, photothinking.com. He's got a new video out in this Photo Thinking blogcast where he's talking about the Lomo LC Wide. What he does is he puts an article up on his website, photothinking.com, but then also does an audio, almost like an audio book of this article on his podcast called Photo Thinking Blogcast. So you can kind of listen to him speak his article while you look at the images on his website. That's a pretty neat idea.
That's cool.
Let's see what else here. I got a couple of things in the mail. A little shout out to Mr. Steve New. He reached out to me and said he had bought a lot of some photography stuff, and there was 2 rolls of APS film there. He didn't think he'd ever want to shoot, so he thought I might be the only person that would be interested in it. And I told him, I was like, "Steve, you don't have to send them to me. I mean, if you want to be a cool kid, go ahead and shoot them, but if you don't want to be cool, then I'll take them, So he in the mail shows up 2 rows of Kodak Advantix APS High Definition 200. I remember when Kodak had that high definition film. They had it in APS and 35 millimeter for a time. And uh, I remember shooting some of that back in the day. So kind of be nice to shoot some, you know, some high definition, you know, because, you know, APS, you know, being so you know, such a high definition film anyway, it's just going to be, yeah. So, but thank you, Mr. Steve New. And then now this one was amazing too. Mr. Juan Alatorre out of nowhere sends me this little package here, a little note. It says, happy birthday, Mr. Gutterman, even though it's nowhere near my birthday and very far away from my birthday, actually. I remember you saying you didn't own one of these bad boys yet. This is a must-have in your Pentax museum. Enjoy. And Juan Alatorre is on Instagram at Juan, J-U-A-N, dot Alatorre, A-L-A-T-O-R-R-E, dot photo on Instagram. But what did he send me? What did I not have in my Pentax collection? None other than a Pentax Auto 110 camera SLR. So,
those are the cool ones, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's a little, I had the same laugh when I opened up the box and saw it. Like when I first got my Pentax 6.7 and it got delivered, I'd never actually held one in person. I'd only, you know, seen them on the interwebs, right? And when I opened up my Pentax 6.7 and pulled it out, I laughed because how comically big it was, you know, for an SLR. And I similarly laughed when I opened up this Auto 110 and how comically small it is. It is a little baby SLR. Cute is the only word you could think to, it's just adorable, you know? And not only did he include the camera, there was two lenses, a 50mm 2.8 for the system and an 18mm 2.8 lens for this Auto 110, and a roll of 110 film just to get me started, some Fukatsu film. And I got Juan, way too kind. And I was talking to Andre last night. I think I'm gonna have to ask Juan to come on, you know, because I'll take a bribe, right? You know, so
so as you should,
right. And now to be honest, he's interacted with the show in the past, and he's been on my list to have on anyway. But you know, a good way to remind me is sending me something cool like that.
No, you know what? Juan's a good guy. I ended up talking to him a little bit around Silver Linings last year. That's how I got to know him. Yeah. He's a good guy. He does some really good work. So it'd be interesting, man. I'd love to hear him talk to you. That'd be cool.
Oh, good. Cool. Well, I'm sure you'll be on with us.
Even better.
There's some really cool stuff in the mill, man. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm debating, like, on 110. Am I going to commit to this enough to, like, buy, like, a developing reel for it and maybe some sort of scanner mask for 110? Or do I just say, okay, you know what, Mike? You haven't used a lab since probably the late 90s, early 2000s. Maybe this is the one time you use a lab is when you shoot 110, you know? Like, maybe I just do that, you know? But you know, what if I like it? I think what I'm going to do is shoot this roll, maybe send it to a lab. And if I really dig it and think it's something I want to do more, then maybe I'll invest in a reel and maybe a scanner mask to do it here at home, you know, because I don't know if I want to make the investment for that stuff until I know how much I like shooting 110, you know. So,
Mike, I'm right there with you, because when my wife's grandmother passed a few years ago, I ended up with a 110 camera from her that still has some film in it that's not finished. Wow. And I actually feel pretty guilty that I haven't finished it. Uh-huh. But one of the things I did was I ordered a couple rolls of that Fukatsu stuff from Rasso. And then, you know, because in the great stories of jumping before you think, like, what am I going to do with this stuff? I guess I could send it to the dark room, but like, I just feel like I'd rather develop it myself. But then, yeah, I only use stainless steel tanks. I'm like, well, then do they even make stainless steel for 110?
They're
thimbles.
And the idea of kind of breaking that cartridge over gives me a little kind of film sweat too, but it would be cool to get over that and be able to put that camera to work, you know. It'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say, it's just really cool. I mean, like, you look through the little viewfinder, and you know, it's just to see that small of an SLR, it really is kind of it's kind of genius on Pentax's part. You know, like this thing is a little tiny SLR. It almost looks like something you get in a bubblegum machine or something. Like, you know, but it also feels really solid. Like it's a little hunk of metal, you know? And, it's just a really, really cool camera, and it's black too. So, you know, it's professional, you know? So,
they have a bunch of different lenses.
right.
But they have a bunch of different lenses for that, don't they?
Well, I mean, he gave me two. I don't know how many's in the system, but one's the 50 millimeter. I guess on 110, 50 would be like more of a telephoto, I guess. And then 18 would be more like the normal lens or something. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
About right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The smaller the sensor, the negative is, right? The the crop factor increases. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So 50. Yeah, that would probably be. So is that up to like a 2.0 crop factor? I mean,
I really don't know. Yeah.
I'm a simple guy. If it's 1.5, I can work that out. If it's 2, I can work that out.
Right.
It's a 50 millimeter lens. That's 100. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
I was given a Canon DSLR, and the Canon has the strange like 1.6 crop factor.
Yeah,
and I can't wrap my head around that. Like, for some reason, just that 0.1 difference just makes it. I just can't wrap my head around it.
You're not wrong, man. I've got a Canon. I've got a 7D Mark II. That's my digital camera for moving things. And yeah, that thing is. I'm always like, okay, if I put the extender on this lens, that's 0.4 times 1.6 times 4, and I'm lost. You know, usually I'm thinking about that in the shower or something, and I'm like, I don't have a calculator close by. So So I know exactly how you feel.
Right. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much our weeks. So we got some emails, and we have some a lot of call-ins to get into here. I made a call out for call-ins and got a few in, and then on this union film podcasters union thread we have on Facebook, Messenger thread, I'd kind of mentioned something there, and a bunch of the podcasters sent me sent me some call-ins as well. So I kind of got restocked. So we got quite a few to play tonight. Some shorter ones, but we'll be able to hit think through four or five of them, I think, possibly. So depending on how long the show goes, but. So I think we'll get to some of those in the next segment. We'll go ahead and take us a little break and get to some listener interaction. So we'll take a break and be right back, folks. We're back from the break, and we got some kind of stuff about the Silver Linings Project that we talked about the last time we did one of these listener interaction episodes. That is where Kooks and I are going to send prints to anyone that makes a donation to cancer research all the way through the end of this month. And all you have to do is just send us an email letting us know that you donated to some kind of cancer research fund or charity. And we either Kooks or I or somebody in our gang will send you some prints. And that's just kind of something that we did last year with a great deal of success. And hoping to, kind of keep it going this year. A little bit smaller, less involved than we did last year, but wanted to keep it going, and then maybe next year come back even stronger with it. But that's just what we're doing. So, but we did get a couple emails about the Silver Linings Project. But first of all, I got a call-in from Mr. Mario Piper from the Gen X Photography Podcast about his thoughts on it. And so let's listen to what Mario has to say.
Hey there, Mike. It's me, Mario. Listening to the latest episode with the the news about Jessica leaving the podcast for a little bit, but also the Silver Linings Project, and I'm just starting the episode, so I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to make a donation as well, but I also want to donate some prints. I'm not sure how many I can do. I called Andre as well, maybe one or two, three, something like that. But I'd love to, to do it. I do like making prints. I haven't done much of it, but it's a lot of fun and, goes to a worthy cause. So anyways, just let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Mario Piper. What a nice gesture there. So you might, Mario's going to join us. Kooks on possibly sending some prints to some people that donate to cancer research or charity. So yeah, just what a nice gesture.
Oh, that's great, man. And I'm excited to see him jump in. I mean, he reached out to me last year and was really happy that we were doing Silver Linings. So I suppose it's really cool that he wants to join in. So I love it.
Very, very cool. Thank you, sir. Mario Piper. And yeah, definitely check out his podcast, the Gen X Photo, the Gen X Photography Podcast, doing fine work over there. So Mario, great friend of the show and great friend of the community. So very, very cool. So we got a couple emails about it as well. So Andre's got the first one. I believe you have one from who do you have, Andre?
Frank Kernan.
Frank Kernan. Okay.
Alrighty, so Frank says, Mike, Andre, and the Cabin Boy. This may be too long to read on the podcast, and I get that, but wanted to write about a donation I made recently to fight cancer and maybe an idea to help keep the Silver Linings Project going. I recently donated to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in memory of a close family friend who passed from cancer after a long battle. It truly is a terrible thing to happen to anyone or for anyone to face. And what you guys are doing with the Silver Linings Project is truly admirable of you guys, and I'm sure I'm not alone when saying thank you. I had an idea that maybe could help keep the project going and possibly make it stronger while bringing together the NEGPOS community of great people. Maybe if people start making a donation, maybe if people making a donation also would like to be part of the printmaking and giving, that would help alleviate some of the load on you guys and keep the methodology of the project robust. I may be speaking for myself, but when making a donation, I'm cool with making a print and having it go out to someone else in the community. I also know I wouldn't mind getting a print from someone else in the Negative Positives community. Just a thought. Let me know what you guys think. Thank you for a great podcast. Frank Kernan.
Very, very cool. Thank you, Frank, so much for donating and for having some ideas there. We have such kind of a small window of time on this one, so I'm not sure how well we can coordinate stuff like that this particular time, but it's definitely something to consider next year if we want to make it bigger, like we kind of like the big grandiose thing we sort of did last year with it, right, Mike? I don't know. It's kind of it seems like it might be a good idea to examine next year when we do it, to maybe really involve the community and maybe have a large amount of print swapping going on. Yeah.
So it almost be like, yeah, if you make a donation then and you want to swap, then we set up that as a print swap and then figure out, yeah, who sends what to who. That sounds cool. That's a great idea.
I think so too.
It really is.
Yeah, very, very cool. Thank you, Frank, so much, man. And since you made a donation, we will put you on the list to get a print from one of the fine folks here. So, yeah, thank you so much, sir. Speaking of cancer, I don't know. There's a I think it was a Monday. I guess it was. No, hold on. It was yesterday or the day before. I can't remember which day it was. A member of one of my favorite bands passed away from cancer at 55 years old. She was in the band called Low, L-O-W. And it's a band that my wife and I have listened to for like 20 years. And since basically they came out in like the early 90s. And just they've been putting out albums ever since. Like they just came out with an album like last year or whatever. And recently found out that she had ovarian cancer and just passed away a couple days ago, which is really sad news. And like they're a husband and wife band, like so like they made music together as husband and wife all those years. So I just can't imagine, you know, what the husband's going through now, like not only losing a wife and the mother to his children, but also his bandmate. You know, that's just unbelievably sad. And so all this cancer talk and for the Silver Linings kind of really it just gives me even more, motivation to kind of keep doing this thing that we've got going on here, because F cancer, right? So, yeah. Well, we did get one other email for the Silver Linings project, and I believe, Mike, you have that one ready to go, right?
Yes, sir. So this is from John Money, and he says, Mike, feel free to read this on the air. I haven't donated money to cancer because money is tight at the moment as I'm in between jobs. That being said, I've been going to the Red Cross as frequently as they allow and donating platelets. It's easy. I sit in the chair, they hook me up, and I watch a movie for 2 to 3 hours, it takes. that it takes. Sorry. Cancer patients need platelets to fight, and I take great pride in knowing that my body is helping others get well. I encourage everyone to go donate. The Red Cross makes the sign-up process super easy, and they reward you for donating also if you want extra motivation. I've never had cancer, though I've had friends and family that have. Every little bit helps, and I'm happy to help others in their battle. Keep up the great work. So, yeah, so that's a way to help that we hadn't really thought of.
Sure, yeah, yeah. And I think, Mike, I think even though monetarily he wasn't able to do it, I think we got to put him on the print list, right? I mean,
heck yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah. He's giving part of his body away, man. At least he can do a sign of a print.
Right, right. I agree there. I agree. So, yeah.
So I wish I could, like, donate blood, or I've actually never particularly looked into platelets specifically. I know that I can't donate like just normal blood because of the amount of blood thinners that I'm on. But it's always been something that I've been interested in doing. But we're also kind of coming up on in here in the US the Thanksgiving holiday. And I know that it's a thing that many people choose to do around that holiday in terms of, you know, some kind of volunteering at like a soup kitchen or anything like that. But also one thing that I've been thinking about, like asking my parents for Christmas, is for the three of us to do like a CPR class together. It's been a long time since I've been certified, and I don't think my parents have ever learned how to do CPR. And you know, it could help save someone's life, and it's a fun thing that you can do with your family. So definitely something, you know, it's very tangentially related to this, I recognize. But something that folks out there, if you've never considered, especially, you know, I know that a lot of folks wouldn't just be like, I'm going to go take a CPR class by myself. Do it with some loved ones, maybe. Mm-hmm. Make it a whole like family activity.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, not a bad idea. Especially, you know, there's always things that people are looking to do during the holiday season to you know, kind of give. And that's not a bad idea. Just any sort of thing like that where you can get yourself more prepared to help someone in need, or actually help people in need through giving the platelets or blood or even donating mm-hmm. to these charities. They're all things that we can do to make us feel a little bit better about this. Some of the greed that happens during the holiday season, right? So
yeah. But, you know, it's a good point about CPR, because I think about that sometimes. I mean, what if someone actually needed CPR and I was the only person there and I didn't know how to do it? I mean, mm-hmm. that's almost unconscionable in 2022, right? I mean, because mm-hmm. I'm pretty strong saying, well, like, if you get a driver's license, doggone it, you ought to be able to drive a manual transmission, you know? I mean, I realize that this is 2022 once again, and there aren't that many of them on the road, but still, like, but how more important would it be to manually jumpstart a human compared to driving a car, right? I mean,
right.
So anyhow, yeah, that's you, Andre had mentioned that to me before, and I thought about that, and that's a good idea with family too, right? Because that's something that everyone should know.
Sure.
Yeah, especially, you know, if you've got family members that are kind of getting up there in age. You know, I think heart disease is like the leading cause of death in the US, at least. I mean, we're pretty, pretty hefty here in terms of our diets and, you know, body fat and stuff like that.
Well, whatever do you mean?
I think that there's few, you know, skills that are more important for like the average person, especially the average American, than you know, knowing how to do CPR.
Good points. All right, well, there's your medical update for this episode. So all right, let's get to some other call-ins. And again, folks, if you want to participate in the Silver Linings Project, you just send me an email. If you've donated to any cancer research or charities through the end of November, just send an email to negpositives@gmail.com and tell us, you know, what you donated to, and give us an address, and one of us will get you some prints in the mail. So just something we a way of saying thanks for being an awesome human being. So all right, let's get to let's get into some call-ins. I got one from David Ortega, and he is going to be talking about documenting your life. So let's hear what Mr. Ortega has to say about this.
Hey there, good morning, Negative Positives, or whenever you're listening to this. Just doing a small little call-in. Just thought I'd help out and give a little bit more fuel to the fire. I'm just wanted to have like a little topic, I guess. Just remembering to document your life. I know Matt Day was really pushing this like a year or two ago. But I mean, for me right now, it's like I am having a kid on the way. My wife is due within like 2 weeks. So it's like all throughout the process, it's like we've done like a Polaroid starting like maybe about week 20 something, like towards like the third trimester. We did a Polaroid a week. I've been taking like photos on digital and film of her at her doctor visits at home, just with the belly. And like also I did like a little maternity shoot. So it's just, even though it's simple and it's not anything like super spectacular or like, oh wow, that looks super professional, it's like just document your life, because at least for me it's like you'll only have a first kid once. So so hopefully all goes well with the pregnancy so far. But everyone else, it's just do what you can. You don't have to, you just pick up the camera and take a picture of whatever moment it is. Don't even think about it. Just be like, oh, this is a cute moment. Let me grab my camera. Alrighty. Have a good one, you guys.
Well, thank you so much, David Ortega, for that call-in. And I believe since then that baby has been born. Is that right, Andre? I think we found that out.
That is true. Yes. Thankfully, right, to my knowledge, no complications with the birth of David's first child. Very huge congratulations to him and his wife and their growing family. Another potential film shooter.
Hey man, that's the best adventure you could ever have is having a child. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that.
Yes, and I did the same thing when my wife was pregnant with the first child. I took tons of pictures as the belly was growing and all that, and was super glad I did that, you know. And the nice thing was I was really in kind of like a really heavy shooting phase of my photography at that time. So I did thankfully document that quite well, and I don't do as good a job now. Like I still. I'm surprised at how often like we'll do something as a family, or just my wife and I will go out or whatever, and how little sometimes I shoot those situations. And I'm like, why? You know, sometimes I even bring a camera and not shoot much. I'm like, I got to start just getting a little more willy-nilly with it, man. Like, I got all this APS film. Like, you know, might as well shoot it, right? So,
absolutely, I mean, someone's got to.
If not you, Mike, who will?
right.
But no, it's a good point. It really is. I mean, I don't know about your family, but my daughter, she's a good kid and she loves me and we love her. It's great, but she does not really like the camera. I think like I wore her out when I didn't know what I was doing. And now that I know a little bit more of what I'm doing, she's just kind of done with it. So, you know, it's kind of a drag, but I suppose that's what every learning, you know, person learning photography does, is you want to take pictures of people that you care about, even when your skills aren't there. But there's a fine balance, right? Because what do? You go find someone and say, hey, look, I don't know what I'm doing, so can I practice on you instead of my family? Mm-hmm. Not that anyone would think that far ahead, but like, how would that conversation go? So,
well, I was happy, you know, Grant, my oldest in college, I've been hoping that he has been documenting his college experience, because I mean, that's, you only do that once to go to the, you know, have the college experience. And the last couple of roles I developed for him, I noticed that there was, you know, some shots of when he went out on his photo walk with his photo club on campus or whatever, And he actually had the it wasn't just photos of trees and buildings and stuff. He actually took photos of the group, you know, out walking and taking taking photos of other people taking photos, you know, like what you do on photo walks a lot. But I was glad that he documented that. Like it showed me that he wasn't just out there taking fire escapes and vintage signs. He was actually documenting the event as well. So that was kind of good to see, because I was kind of have a talk with him, say, hey man, you know, make sure you document all these little mundane moments of your college career, because you know you only do this once and you those will mean something later, you know. So but yeah, it looks like he's kind of on the right track already. So
or he can follow in my footsteps and have hundreds of pictures that years later when you go back and look at them you're like, wow, I wasted so much money. Well, no, I kid, of course, but there was definitely lots of both, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of great memories that I'm happy that I documented, and lots of things where I'm like, man, if I was, you know, as discerning a photographer then as I am now, as I would like to think I am now, I would have wasted a lot less film.
It's a journey, man.
Like, I wasted so much film. Like, I think back to when I first got into film photography, and you used to get like the pill apart, the Fuji Polaroid pill apart film really cheap, you know. It was I think it was like $8 for 10 packs or whatever, you know, and for a 10 pack of 10 shots or whatever. And I shot so willing, and most of them are all just garbage photos, man. And like, because I just would shoot, and my local camera store often would sell like short dated the Polaroid brand pill apart film, but right before Polaroid ended their production of it. And I got like all the, you know, the good, like the 3000 black and white and all that stuff. And like they would, you know, sell it at like short dated stuff for like half price, and I would buy up all the boxes they had and just shoot it like it was nothing, man. And just garbage photos. And like, but you know, that's part of the thing. When you get into this thing, you do tend to overshoot maybe a little bit, and I think it's part of the process, you know. So but hey, you know, it was just the time. I didn't know that all that stuff was going to go away one day. So
one day Miller Lite might go away, but they ain't gonna stop drinking it now, are you?
Right. I'm drinking it like it is going away. That's the thing. Let's see. What else? Well, thank you so much, David, for that call in, and congratulations on the birth of your child. So enjoy that, and keep the documenting. You have plenty to document now, brother. So they grow up fast, man. So all right, let's get on to another call in here. This one's going to come from Mr. Larry Effler, previous guest of the show. He sends us a call-in about the a review of the Olympus XA. So let's hear what his thoughts on the Olympus XA.
I have a lot of cameras. Clunky old SLRs, steampunky folders, plastic Fantastics, and a bunch of boring Minoltas, about as likely to be worn by celebrity on a red carpet as a pair of cargo shorts from Penny's. But I do own exactly one trendy, hipster-approved camera. And what's even cooler is I bought it new back in the day. Let me tell you about my Olympus XA. It all began back in the 80s when I was shooting basketball for my college newspaper. My favorite lens for that was a fast 85mm short telephoto. However, with the lens that long, I kept missing the shots that happened right in front of me, under the basket, as well as the post-game celebrations. With a big tournament coming up, I went to my favorite local camera store to buy a 35mm Vivitar they promised they would hold for me. They did not. They did have the decency to feel bad about it. The big game was that weekend, and I really needed something. One of the guys had the great idea that the teeny Olympus would be perfect for my needs. He let me have it with his employee discount. He had sold my lens, after all. After that, it wasn't too much more expensive than the 35mm Vivitar. The XA was my first rangefinder, and an odd little rangefinder at that. It took some getting used to. In an arena lit for TV, shooting Tri-X push-to-stop, I could easily set the aperture to 5.6, tape the focus to the hyperfocal setting, and forget about the rangefinder. It worked. The home team won, and I got a picture of the mid-court celebration for the front page. Go Vols! Sorry, Mike, but it was the Lady Vols. The camera became my photographic companion for literally decades. It went on vacations. With a little A11 flash, it came to family birthdays and Christmas parties. I even kept it in my jacket pocket when I shot weddings, just in case. I'm pretty sure the very last 35mm photo I took before succumbing to the allure of digital cameras was made with the XA. Eventually, the chic little clamshell closed for the last time. The camera was snuggled away in its custom plastic case and placed on a shelf above my computer monitor in the office at home. The fact that I never packed away the XA is a tribute to how much I really liked it. Every so often, I would take it out, slide it open, and play with the rangefinder. Thank goodness one of those times I thought to remove the batteries. A couple of years ago, after getting back into shooting film, I brought the XA out. It didn't even need to be cleaned. I dropped an LR44 in the camera and it came to life. Welcome back, buddy. Now enough waxing poetic. Here's a review of the Olympus XA. The camera is a very compact aperture priority rangefinder camera. There is no manual mode, and it won't work without a battery, in case those things matter to you. The XA is about as small as a full-frame 35mm camera can be. It's easily small enough to fit in a shirt pocket or a jeans pocket, even if you wear skinny jeans. The camera has a little more heft than you think from its size, but it's nowhere near objectionably heavy. The slide-open cover acts as an on-off switch, lens cap, and covers the shutter release. The viewfinder shows frame lines, a yellowish rangefinder patch in the center, and a shutter speed scale and pointer on the left edge. There is no parallax correction, but that's almost never a problem. To take a picture, focus with the lever below the lens. Be careful to keep your big clumsy fingers out of the frame. The focus throw is barely 20 or 30 degrees, from a little less than 3 feet to infinity. Choose an aperture from f2.8 to f22 with the lever on the right, and the camera chooses a shutter speed from 1 second to 1/500th. There is a 3-function lever on the bottom that will give you a stop and a half backlight compensation, beeps to test the battery, and sets the self-timer. And a little bit of design genius, the lever acts as a tiny tripod when the self-timer is used. Speaking of genius, let's take a minute to talk about the shutter release button. It's an electromagnetic switch with such a light touch that just thinking about pushing it can make the shutter fire. It's sweet, but be careful. It's very easy to shoot too soon. The shutter is very quiet. It would be great for street photography. Film advance is accomplished with a serrated wheel rather than lever. It's not nearly as bad as it sounds. The Tini's Ricoh 35mm f2.8 lens is amazingly compact and sharp. The aperture only has 4 blades, so your bokeh balls will be square boxes. This is not the camera for those kind of photos, though. 5 different models wore the XA badge. Mine is the original XA. It's the only one with a real rangefinder and aperture priority exposure. Do not confuse the XA with the XA1. The one is a shadow of the true XA, with a fixed focus F4 lens, a crappy shutter button, limited shutter speeds, and a freaking selenium meter. Sad. The XA2 is better than the one, but lacks a real rangefinder using scale focus. Rather than the XA's 6-element f2.8 lens, it has a 4-element f3.5 and programmed exposure. The XA3 appears to be exactly like the XA2, with the addition of DX coding for film speed. The XA4 is also a scale focuser, but with a 28mm f3.5 that focuses down to about a foot. If you can get one of those, try to find one with the original strap. It's the perfect length to act as a close focus aid. Cool. The XA is a great example of industrial design. You can see seeds of the much-loved Infinity Stylus point-and-shoots in the XA. I've had them both, and I like the XA much better. Mine's loaded up right now with some FP4 so I can stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, after for your view and your story about the Olympus XA, even though you threw in a Tennessee Vols little cheer in there. Not happy about that. The Kentucky Wildcats and the Tennessee Vols played football a couple weeks ago, and we thoroughly got our ass thumped. So it's like 40-something to 6. So not a good day for the Kentucky Wildcats. But other than the Tennessee BS he threw out there, I very much.
Yeah, but it was the ladies team. I mean, how mad can you get at the ladies? Come on.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, he did save himself there a little bit. So, there you go. And Andre, you have experience with this camera, right?
Oh yeah, the XA is absolutely one of my favorite cameras. I'm a Leica lover at heart, but the XA does things that the Leica can't. It's small enough to go in my back pocket. It's unassuming enough, especially with that little, you know, serrated ratcheting wheel, where, you know, if you take a candid shot on the street and somebody, you know, turns around and you start ratcheting that thing, they don't think it's that serious of a thing. They're not, you know, turning around to see you with like a big DSLR looking thing and being like, why did you take my picture? The A11 flash is awesome. Doesn't have that much bulk to it. Pretty much mine lives loaded up with Cinestill BWXX rated at 400. And it's the camera that I accompany my medium format cameras with all the time. I'm often hesitant to only carry one medium format camera, especially a fixed lens camera like my Rolleiflex, and have no other option other than that. So a lot of times I'll carry the Rolleiflex on an X strap and then the XA in my back pocket so that I have two different options, you know, 35 millimeter and 120, sometimes black and white in one, color in the other. You know, I don't really have an easy way of doing flash with the Rolleiflex, but I have the ability to shoot in low light with the XA. So love the camera. If mine breaks, I will absolutely pay whatever needs to get paid to have it fixed. And that's the only electronic camera that I can say that about.
Mm. I had an XA2 for a while and it was okay. I bought it because at the time I was really wanting a Lomo LCA. And at that time, those things were really expensive because it was at the height of the kind of the Lomo craze or whatever. And everyone said, well, the XA2 is a cheap alternative. It's pretty much the same thing, same sort of shooting experience or whatever. And I didn't really get that Lomo look out of it that I wanted so bad that I saw that, you know, that I thought that the Lomo LCA was going to do. And technically, I've got one of those now, and it doesn't really do that Lomo look either, really. But I believed that this camera was going to, the LCA was going to be like this magical camera. So couldn't afford one at the time. Got an XA2, ended up thinking, these photos are too good. And so I think I ended up selling it. So, Kooks, you got any experience?
I can definitely see that. It definitely does take surprisingly good pictures so that if you are looking for that kind of lo-fi look, you won't find it.
Mm-mm. I've got an XA2, mm-hmm. and I enjoy it. It's a fun camera. I mean, I'll admit there's times that the flash doesn't actually get me what I'm looking for. I've blown away a couple faces before from being too close, but that's on me. That's not the camera's fault. It's a fun camera. It really is. And that shutter button is a little crazy. You know how easy it is to trip it, but it's also cool when you're trying to, you know what I mean? It's cool. And if you take the flash off, that thing is tiny. I mean, that is something that some people call things pocketable. And sometimes I wonder about that, but that one honestly can go in your pocket, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a cool camera.
You know, us Americans have much larger clothing and bigger pockets than our friends.
You speak for yourself, buddy. I can still rock some skinny jeans every once in a while. I don't do it as much as I used to because I feel like the skinny jeans now just accentuate the roundness of my belly now. Like, you know, before I had the belly, they were fine. Now when you put on the skinny jeans, it's like I look like a barrel with little four pegs, like two pegs coming out. So, oh man, might have to step up away from the, might have to get up the skinny jean dream. So I don't know, all right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and take us another break here. We got a couple more call-ins I want to get to, it seems like a good time for a break. So we'll take us another one and we'll come back for one final segment and a couple more call-ins that we received. So we'll be right back, folks. Folks, we're back for the final segment, and we have a couple more call-ins to get to. This one is going to come from Mr. Theo Panagopoulos from the Camerosity podcast, which we've said they are the nerdiest of the film photography podcast at this point. So, Theo did send an email along with this one. It's the Texas Leica call interview. He says, "Here you go, Mike. This should help you fill in pregnant, quiet pauses after you make a joke on the podcast." So let's find out what Theo has to say here about the Texas Leica, but even though it's not a Leica, but you know what I'm saying. Here we go. Let's see what Theo has to say here.
Hello, Mike and the Negative Positives crew. This is Theo Panagopoulos from the Camerosity podcast and photothinking.com. Thought I'd send you in a call-in review of the Fuji GSW 690 Mark III. Here is the review. The Fuji GSW 690 Mark III is a large medium format rangefinder, otherwise known as a Texas Leica. It shoots beautiful, wide-angle, big ass negatives. I hope this has given people a little bit more information about the Texas Leica, and who knows, may have even convinced someone to buy one. And thank you until next time.
That's a review.
Yeah, thank you, Leo, for that. Theo, for that really informative, in-depth review. I mean, I hope Andre didn't fall asleep during that one. It was pretty long. So, I have no experience with those cameras, but Andre, did you have one, or were you thinking about buying one at one time or something? Or
I had one, big ass negatives, awesome lens, way too big personally for my diminutive size, for me to really want to, you know, carry it, especially like, I mean, it's different than, you know, if we're doing a trip the way that Kooks and I do, where he's got his two big like roller bags, that he puts in the trunk of the car, then like size and weight's really not an issue. But to have a camera that you kind of walk around with, that has a minimum 1 meter focusing distance and a fixed lens for that size and weight, I'd rather shoot the Rolleiflex over it. So I ended up selling mine a long time ago, but Kooks has one, and he just recently shot it when we were out in the desert.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. I've got the GW 690, so I think the GSW is like, I think that's super wide, I think. Wow. So that's maybe like, yeah, a 50 millimeter lens.
I think it's like a 65 okay. millimeter lens.
Okay. So the one, my camera has the 90 millimeter on it, and it's the Mark III. So it's a lot of plastic, but, and it is huge. I mean, I've got a Kodak Medalist that I adore, and I swear that you could put the Medalist inside of this camera. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels like yeah, there's almost room to put it in there, but it's a cool camera. It really is. And I had, you know, I had left it alone for a while. And I thought, you know, I should take this thing out and shoot with it. And I mean, the negatives are great. I mean, although Andre and I, we've had this discussion before about aspect ratios and printing and, you know, how 2x3 doesn't really match any paper that we can get. Although I do get pretty jealous, because like, you watch Roger Lowe's YouTube channel, and he can, in the UK, they have like 12x16 paper, which is like, is that, maybe I can't count straight, but that's a lot closer to 2x3 than, you know, 11x14 or 8x10. So it's, you know, but still, it's a huge negative, and I love it. And the camera's fun to use. I mean, the shutter sound, you might love it, you might hate it. It does kind of sound like a, I don't know, like a mousetrap getting sprung, you know, it's kind of like a little bang, you know, okay, although I'd say okay, the mousetrap is kind of like, it comes down on the other side. I guess it'd be the front part of the mousetrap, you know what I mean? Like the release more than the ending. But man, it makes good pictures, and I really, really enjoy using it. The one thing that I did, the one challenge I have with it is, if you're trying to get close to something, that the viewfinder lines, they try to correct for parallax, but that doesn't tell you how the arrangement of things in a picture are going to be. What I'm trying to say is, like, sometimes I end up with a car or an object that I'm trying to place between some, well, like on Friday, I took a couple pictures of this GT3 that I had outside of the training center out there, and on the wall are these like grooved lines in the wall. And so I tried to get the car and the camera placed so that the lines were just outside of the car rather than being like cutting through the car, whatever. It just, but the problem is, the lens is a good 2.5, 3 inches maybe to the right of the viewfinder. So even correcting for the parallax, you know, you've got to overcorrect to think, all right, well, and I still missed, you know what I mean? They weren't even, mm-hmm. even though I thought I had overcorrected for it a little bit, but no, it's a cool camera. I wouldn't separate with mine for anything. And I love the Medalist. I mean, the Medalist is very similar. It's got a 100mm lens on it instead of a 90, but they're both 3.5s. Mm-hmm. I think the only difference with the Medalist on the positive side is it's got a timer. The Fuji doesn't. And then, mm-hmm. although it's got a standard cable release, and I guess the only other thing is there's bulb on the Medalist, but you got to have some weird tripod cable that I haven't figured out yet. But it's like a normal one won't go in there. It's got to have like a flat one or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But on the other hand, the Fuji only has time. So if you put it in time mode, you know, once you trip the trigger, the only way to get it out is either turn the aperture ring or the shutter speed ring, one of those, or advance the film advance lever, which both are like, holy crap, I'm going to blur my picture, you know?
Oh yeah.
Although, you know, who's the, what's his name? He donated to Silver Linings last year. The guy that's DV over DT.
Oh yes, Tim Anderson.
Anderson, sorry Tim for forgetting your name. I could see all your pictures, and the one I'm thinking of is Roy's, and he did one on Velvia where he had this camera turned, you know, in portrait, let it go for 10 seconds in time, and then to release it, if you crank the shutter, it moves the film slightly, and so it was like the sign, that neon sign, was like mostly sharp, but then it looked like it was bleeding off the bottom of the picture. It's so cool.
Oh, that's good.
And I've been meaning to try that sometime, but I haven't. So I guess that's a silver lining of not having a real bulb mode on that camera. But
very cool. So yeah, I really don't know why we spent so much time talking about that camera with after Theo's in-depth description of it. But,
sorry, this is me just blabbing.
No, I'm joking.
This is me blabbing.
I'm making more of a comment about Theo's.
Well, he did more than three words, right?
He did.
Very nice.
All right. Well, we got one more call in to get to. And by the way, one last point about that is, like, yeah, six by nine negatives are, they are really big, you know. Yes. So yeah, and it's very, very cool to see. But
and print width too. I mean,
oh, I imagine. Yeah, yeah. All right, we got one more call in, and this is you know, I don't know what they're. I didn't realize that technology was so advanced in Australia, because apparently they now make robots of themselves down there, so there is. We have a call in from Robot Theo, and Robot Theo even has the ability to send emails too, apparently. So he says, "Hey Mike, it's Panasonic Lumix FX-07 review. Hey Mike, Robot Theo here. Here is a review. Don't tell Meat Theo, like M-E-A-T Theo."
Oh man,
I'm sending this without his knowledge. So let's see what this evil Robot Theo is trying to send here, like, without his master's knowledge. And maybe he's become the master, you know, like, I don't know. It's disturbing what's going on down there in the land down under. But let's see what Robot Theo has to say.
Good day, Negative Positives team. This is Robot Theo from Camerosity Podcast and PhotoThinking.com. But don't tell me Theo, as he does not know I write on his site. I have a review of the Panasonic Lumix FX07. This is the review. The Panasonic Lumix FX07 is a tiny little compact digicam with a Leica lens that takes great JPEGs. This has been an in-depth review of one of the all-time classic digicams. Don't be a bogan, try and get one. Until next time.
I love that the voice even has a slightly robotic Australian accent.
Right.
Yeah, sounds like my GPS lady.
Oh man. So, well, thank you, Robot Theo. I'm going to be very polite, 'cause I don't want this robot uprising to take over. I just, I just saw one of the Terminator films recently. So again,
oh,
so
man. I don't know, but,
so but
well, Mike, you work in a factory, dude. How can you like not think that Skynet is self-aware, seeing the stuff that goes on inside?
That is true. My entire job is feeding robots, so that's basically what I get paid for. So, but so yeah, this Digicam thing, man, it's really becoming a thing. Like, and I could see why with you know, film prices and stuff being more expensive, it seems to be like a hot trend to get these older digicams. And I know that Lucy Lumen recently spent a whole month not shooting any film and just shooting digicams, and she's really going to make it part of her process. I mean, she's still going to shoot film, but digicams now are like older, you know, particularly people want the ones with the old CCD sensors, not the the newer style sensors, because the CCD tends to at least the opinion is that they tend to have more of a film like look. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I have an old Digicam, an old Kodak 8 megapixel, that, I've done some infrared photography with, because all I got to do is put an infrared filter on the front of that lens. And on the screen, I see exactly what the photo will look like in infrared. And, you know, I have to have it on a tripod because the shutter speeds are slow, but it does a really good job with infrared. And it's a cheap, cool way to do infrared. And you see it before you even take the picture on the screen on the back. And it's very cool. But that camera, for all I know, it might be worth $42 right now or something. I don't know, but but I should get knock the dust off of it and get it out again, because apparently it's all the rage. But I don't know. What do you guys think about the people picking up the old school digicams with the CCD sensors and kind of give them a spin again? Do you think that's going to be is this a flash in the pan, or is this going to be a trend that's going to go on for a while? What do you guys know about it? What do you think about it?
I think it's going to go on for a while. I mean, not everybody that shoots film is doing it for the same reasons, right? Like, I love the archival aspect of it. I like developing film almost as much as I like actually, you know, taking pictures. Although I haven't done all that much of it, I love darkroom printing. Not everybody enjoys film for those reasons. A lot of people just like the slightly different look than what you would get from, like, a modern digital camera or what your smartphone, you know, looks like. And so for those people that just want the slightly different look, the Digicam is a great option for that. And how many, like, teeny tiny ones did they make that can fit in your back pocket the same way that, like, a 35 millimeter point and shoot did, but with, you know, basically no cost per shutter click. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that, you know, film's still going to be around for a long time, and there's still going to be a lot of people shooting film, including new people getting into it, for some of the reasons that I mentioned before. But I think that the two can live harmoniously, just as they did for many years. There were still plenty of people, even when these digicams were first coming out, people that had not yet abandoned film, that they enjoyed the cameras that they used. They liked bringing it to the you know, 1 hour photo lab and getting their prints. So I welcome it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's I know that Lucy was talking on her YouTube channel, Lucy Lumen's Analog Adventures YouTube channel. She was talking about one of the nice things is after going out on a shoot, you know, she could literally see the photos immediately, almost like that revelation of when digital cameras came out in first place. But but because she sends her stuff to a lab, so she has to wait, you know, well, probably not as long as I have to wait to see my photos, because it takes me forever to develop my film. So, but I mean, there is that thing. I mean, it's kind of nice to, most of these digicams, you know, the preview screen on the back isn't usually the greatest. They're usually small and not as high res as they are nowadays or whatever. So yes, you do get to see what your picture sort of looked like after you take it, but getting it on the computer and seeing it on a bigger screen or whatever is a totally different thing. So you still kind of get like the sort of the satisfaction of finally seeing what your photos look like, but you get to see them as soon as you get home. rather than mixing up a bunch of chemicals and waiting to do all that. So I can see it. I guess I'm gonna, you know, I haven't shot that little Kodak in a long time, but maybe I should pull it out and you get down with what the kids are into these days, you know. So, Kooks, yeah. You got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I tend to think as long as you're enjoying yourself, go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in the back of my mind, I admit, like, if people that strictly use film for digital output, if they're not really committed to it, I'm always like, oh man, don't screw up my hobby, please. Please keep buying film and stuff, you know, so we can keep going. But no, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. I think it's awesome. In fact, we have a Canon G9 kicking around here, which is, you know, from 2008, maybe 2007, something like that. So it actually got me thinking I should go dig that thing out and take a picture with it. The only thing is, it's got like a viewfinder, but it's like a Holga viewfinder, you know. One of those. It's got a screen on the back, but it's not really. But yeah, no, I think it's cool. But it was funny. I listened to that same podcast you were talking about with Lucy. Mm-hmm. I think she was talking to, I can't remember the other lady that was really into digicams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she was talking about like how long it would take to write one picture to the card. Right. With the, like whatever one she had, it was just so funny because it just takes you back to how technology was in its infancy back then, you know.
Sure.
And
sure.
maybe that's a version of, you know, like slowing you down, literally, right? Even more literally than film, you know. So but you know, maybe it's the other side of that too, is that people just like to change things up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know. Sure. Maybe there's something to that.
And, you know, I know a lot of people are, I mean, let's face it, the economy is, inflation's, things are expensive right now. And, you know, if you've had to cut back on your film budget a little bit, you don't necessarily have to cut back on your photography. You know, there's this thing called digital. It's been out for a while. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's kind of a thing. And I'm just wondering when are the Digicam podcasts coming out? I think, you know, there's got to be one coming, right? So,
I've been seeing a lot of like YouTube videos on these. Yeah. I don't know about, you know, whole dedicated podcasts, but there's a lot of buzz on the YouTubes.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. All right.
And they all have like clickbaity titles of like, you know, the best $10 camera. It's like, yeah, I'm sure that you probably could find one of them for $10, but the minute that people start kind of hyping these up and you get everybody trying to compete for the same things, you're probably going to see an increase in prices on the digicams as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's pretty much our listener interaction for this episode. And I want to thank everybody for the emails and the call-ins and all that good stuff. If anybody wants to send an email or call in, our email address is negpositives@gmail.com, and I'll repeat that again at the end of the show. So, but let's go ahead and get our socials out here and get the hell on out of here. So we'll start with Kooks. Kooks, where can people check you out, man?
You can find me on Instagram at Drunk Darkroom, and my website is kookavica.com. So there's that.
Nice. And Andre?
You can find my long dormant Instagram account at Andre on Film.
All right, you can see my pretty much long dormant Instagram account as well. So at Gutterman Photo. You can email this program again at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. Let's see, we have an Instagram account, Negative Positives, and you can check us out there. And you can support this program on Ko-fi. It is ko-fi.com/negativepositives, and you can get my music on Bandcamp at mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. And we will wrap this show up with a listener music track. This one's going to come from Mr. Oliver Kreitz. He has a band, or I don't know if they're still functioning or not, but I know he had a band or still has a band called The First Part. The song is going to be called We're No Strangers. So you're going to hear Oliver Kreitz's band, The First Part. We're no strangers. He did send me an email about this. Let's see here. Heard you were running low on some Lister music. I wanted to send you a song from a band that I had played with until the whole pandemic thing came along. They're called The First Part and can be found on all social media and streaming services. You can get on Bandcamp, thefirstpart.bandcamp.com, and they have a Facebook, facebook.com/thefirstpart. So
check out his band, The First Part, and we're going to hear a song from them called We're No Strangers as soon as we say the magic tagline to get on out of here. So, folks, we will see you in 2 weeks. I assume we will probably have a guest, and maybe I'll be reaching out to Juan Alatorre. until we talk to you, everybody have a great 2 weeks. And I guess we'll let Kook say the magic tagline here. But everybody stay positive.
And shoot some cool film photos.
There it is. Folks, we will talk soon. Take care.
Execution and the way to follow. You are rising, finding out the victor. A Gutter Man Cave production!